was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 490. Wow, we're cruising to 500. It's so close I can taste it.
Almost single digits.
If you could taste a podcast, but
yeah, I don't.
Can't really taste a podcast.
Maybe you can. This one you can.
Well, 500 I can. Yeah, because we're gonna have.
That's like the 4D version.
4D, yeah, like 40 version, 40. What?
Yeah, 40.
Okay. I don't know.
You drink a couple 40s, you can.
There you go. Okay, that's how you do it in Philly when you hit 500. Here.
Okay.
I get it. Okay. Well, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Mike,
Pat,
Dave,
and two sleeping dogs. Spencer wasn't feeling good. Did you take 25% off that? I hope you did.
Yes, he did.
Good. Good boy. Good Tim. Got thrown. Sorry. Mike.
You get sidetracked very easily.
No, Mike said he had some news. He said it was the most exciting thing he's possibly ever
John
heard.
John Romita Jr.
Oh, yes.
Coming back to Spider-Man.
Yes, not just any old Spider-Man. What are we getting?
Amazing.
What else are we getting? Because you can't just bring an artist onto an ongoing title. That's crazy talk.
He's on the title.
With a new number one. Oh, yeah.
For real?
Oh, yeah.
Marvel sucks.
Yeah.
So. You still have the legacy numbering. It'll be
a lot. Oh, yeah, because we're getting up to 100, and then it'll be 1, you know. But, yeah.
So, he didn't really do all that much for DC.
Oh, he did a lot, but it wasn't good.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say.
He didn't do a lot of monumental
things there.
No.
So, I wonder how long this adventure is going to last.
Hi, buddy. He's probably back there for good until he retires.
How old is he?
He's older than you'd think, because I know he was doing X-Men in the early 80s, Spider-Man in the early 80s. That's 40 years, so he's probably in his 60s at least. His dad's up there, too.
Is his dad still with us?
Yeah.
Okay.
As far as I know.
Yeah, I was wondering.
What's the matter, buddy?
Sure.
What's the matter?
What? John Romita Jr. is 65.
There you go.
Damn.
What? What's up? You woke up. Yeah.
That has to be odd, though, being 65 and still being known as Junior.
Yeah.
John Romita Sr. is 91.
There we go.
Wow. All right.
Artist of my favorite Spider-Man cover of all time.
It's the one with Spider-Man on it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice, Pat.
Good guess.
That
was a very good guess. Wow.
I'm hip like that. You know.
Number 39. So, actually, that was his first issue. That was the first non-Ditko issue. So
he knocked out the park on the first one. And
he did. He crushed it. That's Spider-Man Goblin flying with Spider-Man.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Any other news? I couldn't find any.
I
looked to see if there was anything. I didn't see anything.
People have one more day to vote for the new member of the X-Men team. They're doing the poll again.
Okay. I read Inferno 3 yesterday and 4 today, and I think I hurt something. So we'll talk about that
later.
You think
you hurt something?
I did. That was a lot to read. Okay, I have two rants. Oh, I'm sorry, I did have one other big news. It's partial rant, but... So Bad Ideas over, as we all know. They made that big announcement.
They're officially folded?
They're officially done.
I can't believe that.
Well, no, they're going to come back with ideas
semi-bad
or something.
Semi-bad ideas?
Something. But I did get an email from them, as did every other Bad Idea store. And the sad news is we've all been fired.
Oh, okay.
All the stores have been fired, but have the option to reapply for the position. So,
you're going to reapply?
I'm not. It really made it quite easy because I didn't want to continue and I didn't know how to tell them I quit. So
You never broken up with a woman.
Now I get severance. But yeah, it's very funny.
Hang on.
You had an abusive relationship with your comic provider, and you couldn't stand up and go, bye.
Yeah, hang on. Let me...
Who do they think is actually going to sign up for this again?
Well, here's what happened.
Someone made money.
They made money.
No, I think other people made money, too, because they...
Speculators.
No, not many stores, because... the problem is because we had to order the same number of number 5 or 4 that we did of number 1, mm-hmm. and that's not the way it works. So stores are stuck with a lot of books. So if you made any money, you're probably sitting heavy on other issues. So,
but ones that would have worked,
not
the
necessarily
system.
Balanced. No. How do you work the system?
Well, once they knew those books were going to be hot. Don't sell them. Just put them out on eBay.
Well, possibly. But, okay.
There's always ways around that.
So, there was a poll where saying, will you sign up, won't you sign up, undecided. So,
was
of the votes...
Was there a
hell no?
And Colin knows how to work the poll.
But there was 100% not sign up is 93 votes, 100% will sign up is 14 votes. So...
That's an overwhelming...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Undecided 11 votes. So, yeah.
It's a losing business model.
It was. And the big thing, like, even it's funny because their biggest supporter, Jen King, who, probably talking out of turn here, but whatever, who won the button battle thing and won a trophy and everything, is not signing up because for her employees' sake, because it is so much work, such a pain in the butt. I didn't have it, but some stores had people lining up to be first to get the button and all this. It created so much extra work and hassle that she is literally not doing it for her employees' sake, even though she was their biggest supporter. So I just don't know.
Well, New Dimension at the Mills, if you go back to where ENIAC is, it's a big...
Right.
On the shelf still. Yeah.
Because they sold, you know, 100 number ones, but 20 number twos and 10 number threes. You know, it's...
And I think these are all fours and threes that are on the shelf.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. And it's like that with every title, is just stacks of unsold stuff and just the hassles. It's not in the POS. I can't subscribe to people to it. I had to keep a separate spreadsheet. And it's just like...
Yeah, you're... It's
my other
work,
problem with
work.
It was when I signed up, I was one of the first 50. I was the only store in Pittsburgh. Oh, until they added New Dimension, until they added Phantom of the Attic.
Yeah.
You know, and now all of a sudden every store in Pittsburgh has it. I didn't have any exclusivity. Plus, they did this after we ordered ENIAC number 1, which guaranteed our orders for 2 through 3. All of a sudden the customers could get it. So I had customers coming from Cranberry to sign up for number 1. Oh, well, my store has it now. I don't need it.
After I already
ordered all 4 issues.
They cut your orders, too.
Well, they allocated us, yes.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. It was just all, I don't know. I hear people say, oh, they were trying something different. I'm like, yeah, but it all just benefited them. It was a lot more work for us. And the books could have been great. I know Brandon didn't like the books, but some people love the books. But it's like, I'm not going through that headache just for the, you know,
for the
8 customers that want every title. I'm not doing it. I can't. It's just a pain in the ass.
Yeah. You can go to Pittsburgh Mills or you can go to Cranberry.
Yeah, well, like somebody said, I'm not going to reward bad behavior again. So, you know, and for some people, they're now selling invisible comics that they got CGC to grade from 0.5 all the way up to 10. And they're selling them for $1,000 a piece.
Okay.
It's like... And one guy said, I stopped using CGC because they played into this game. You know, now you're grading invisible comics. Okay. Yeah. No, it's good fun. No, it's not. It's a pain in the ass. So, I don't do CGC, but there's some stuff on the boards where I guess they've raised the prices. Their turnaround time has gotten super slow because of the backlog. Because all of a sudden during the shutdown, everybody was sending stuff in.
Yeah.
And Now they're adding a $200 yearly fee for stores if they want to have an account with them. It's like, I'm glad I never got into any of that crap. Just what a pain.
Yeah, but, I mean, how many books do you have to send them to make that $200 back?
Yeah, I agree. Well, some of them say, just make it back on one book. You know.
Right, if something amazing walks in here, but...
Right, but yeah, it's something I never wanted to get involved with, and I'm glad I didn't. Just, no, it's not fun. You know, I sell books to be read. Oh, and then the other thing I had was variants. Both Marvel and DC, and even Image today, are doing doozies lately. It's just maddening.
Now, as you say that, remember Dynamite does 28 versions of a cover,
that's not the problem.
Okay.
So, I will show you the cover that we had to order Monday with no Image.
TBD?
Just no Image. It was the Darth Vader number 20 Star Wars 50th Anniversary Sprouse variant. Which I have a bunch of them. It's just
Star
like
Star Wars 50th Anniversary.
Yeah.
Star Wars 50th Anniversary isn't for 6 years.
Not my call, man. Hang on
well, 5.5 years, but yeah. Still.
Well, it's 50th something. I don't know what it is. I don't pay that close of attention. You're overthinking things. Lucasfilm's 50th Anniversary.
Okay.
Okay. So, normally it's just like a shot from a movie, something like that. So, this was the one that we had ordered Monday without a cover.
Okay.
Without showing us a cover. I normally order 4. I have 3 holds, 1 on the shelf. They normally don't sell. I think I might have ordered a few more of those.
Yeah, I think you would have. Because I don't read that book, I would get that cover.
Yeah. So, the cover is The Mandalorian and Grogu.
Baby Yoda.
They didn't let us see the cover.
Oh, jeez. Who didn't want to see the cover?
Marvel. They didn't show us the cover.
They could have sold 5 times Absolutely. What they did just by showing that cover.
Oh, but wait, Pat, because guess what they're going to do tomorrow?
What are they going to do tomorrow?
They're going to announce a second print. And then they're going to have a 1 in 25 and a 1 in 50 variant on the second print. So that the stores that have the every cover guys have to order 50 of the second print. Then you have DC. This week's Batgirls has 3 covers.
One for each Batgirl?
No, but you have the A cover, the B cover, and then a 1 in 25.
Okay.
They switched the barcodes on B and C and shipped in different amounts or something. I don't know because I didn't get any of the 1 in 25 because I didn't order enough. But stores are reporting that they got those. They do that quite often with Batcat, which has 3 covers, and Batman Urban Legends, which has 3 covers.
Okay.
They switch the barcodes, and so if you order 20B and 10C, you get 20C and 10B.
And that could be a problem. People are ordering specific
Correct.
Covers. Yeah.
To which their answer is, the inside's the same. It's just a cover.
Mm-hmm. Well, clearly you don't understand your market.
You don't understand what you're doing. Why are you putting out 3 covers?
Right.
If the cover image doesn't matter, why are you making 3 covers?
That's logic.
Image today, Scorched came out. They switched their covers around. There was the main cover was actually the B cover that we ordered because it was the main cover was the McFarlane cover. We got the Jay Lee cut. It's just, they're like, we're aware of the problem. So you're aware that store, you know, you had 8 covers on this book and switched all the covers around? It's like, come on.
We're aware.
So Dynamite does all these covers? They don't do that. I see what the covers are when I order them. It's they don't switch everything at the last minute.
We know they're going to be cheesecake, but we want to know what flavor cheesecake.
Well, if I order most of the Perillo, I'm going to get the Perillo.
Yeah.
I'm not suddenly going to get the Jones that nobody's heard of. You know, it's just... And what I just saw, somebody answered something I posted. Well, I had made a nasty post because they announced they sold 270,000 copies of Scorched. I'm like, yeah, but you don't have enough paper, so you can't do second prints. I'm like, this is now getting predatory. where you have to order up on the main on the issue because there's not going to be any more. They're not going to do a second print. So order lots, and oh, we're going to have eight covers, and you don't know which one's going to be hot, and you don't know which one we're going to send you. So order a lot of each one. I'm like, this is getting predatory at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had enough. You know, it's just...
You just said don't reward bad behavior.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah, you can print 270,000 copies of Scorched. There aren't 270,000 readers that want that book. They did a Todd McFarlane signed one in 250,
mm-hmm.
and you had stores ordering big to get those
yeah.
signed covers. But it's like, but you don't have, you, but you're out of paper, and due to the paper shortage, you can't, it's like, sorry, you can't have ice cream because daddy spent all the money on strippers. You know, sorry, kids. You know, what you gonna do? So just, yeah.
Everything, way to go, Mike. Way to spend all the money on strippers.
Sorry. Everything is just, you know.
It was a crazy weekend.
Yeah, but just the fact that DC can't keep their covers right. It's like, it can't be that hard.
No, it should be manageable.
Yeah, you solicit A, B, and C. You shouldn't somewhere along the way switch B and C
no.
without telling
no,
anybody.
Because when you're meeting a deadline, you have an editor in the publication and all that other stuff, you know what's going to print.
I think the problem is there's nobody in charge of the production end of it.
Well,
there's nobody overseeing.
Well,
they're
no,
not overseeing. You know,
correct. So
knows
if there's
what's
nobody
overseeing
the production schedule or what's going on there, it can happen.
Yeah.
In normal cases, that should never happen.
But editor sends three covers. The printers print three covers. They don't know which cover's which.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's like they're, you know, but the fact that they're also at the same time like, what's the problem? We don't care. It's a cover. It's got Batman on it.
Again, that's nobody taking responsibility for the problem. Yeah.
So, well, those are my two rants. We do have a question. We have two questions. I don't know how to answer Tim's question. I'm going to call him in here. Timothy?
Yeah?
Would you ask your question live?
Man, talk about service.
He asked a weird question. I'm not quite sure how to phrase it.
In the book, What's the Furthest Place from Here? The gang lives in a record store. And kind of your personality basis, almost, you have to pick what record in the record store represents you in the gang. So what would be your record?
That's okay. Okay. Now I understand that better. I thought you meant because each issue comes with a record.
Right.
I'm like, what record would I want my issue to be? Okay, I got it.
Pink Floyd the Wall.
John Denver's Christmas with the Muppets.
Nice.
I saw that recently at Half Price Books in Robinson. No, not Robinson. Up north. Cranberry.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought of you. And I was like, it was only
Thank
seven.
You.
It was only
go.
$7.
There you
I
go.
Was like, my God, what Pat likes this?
I do. I have it.
Do you have it? All
I,
right,
of course
cool.
I do.
Yeah.
Bing Crosby one. White Christmas. Oh, sorry.
That's another good one.
There you go. I was trying to think of a serious answer, and now...
Oh, I'm sorry.
My answer...
Yours is totally serious. I know.
My answer would be Tom Waits' Rain Dogs.
Yeah.
Tim saw my copy of that issue of that book, so that's why he decided to ask the question.
Okay.
I told Tim, music's not my strong suit, but I'm a Jonathan Richman song fan. If you ever heard of Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers... You ever see There's Something About Mary? He's like the troubadour.
In
that movie.
Okay, cool.
And one of his albums.
Dave's just trying to play slick. His real answer is The Chronic.
Yeah.
Oh.
Dr. Dre. No, I can't. Something by Rat.
N.W.A. Straight Out of Compton.
Compton. Straight Out of Hampton? No.
Compton, yeah. Yeah, you got me.
I believe that Dave is straight out of Compton.
You don't think he's jamming to N.W.A. at home?
Okay. No. And Mr. Ludwig asks...
I was going to say, if I look, I probably got 10 N.W.A. songs on my iPod right now. So,
what story or book do you wish you could read for the first time all over again?
Oh, wow.
Moon Knight, where they first discover his DID. because the whole time you're reading it, you're going,
Which Moon Knight? Hmm? Like the original Moon Knight or
yeah,
one of the more recent ones? Okay.
I think it was Bendis.
Okay, that's where, what I mean. Which
because you're, you know, he's talking to Captain America, and he's talking to Wolverine, he's talking to Spider-Man, and the whole time you're thinking, yeah, he's talking to these guys, and then at the end it's, there's no one there. He's nuts. And that was just such a turn.
Frank Miller, Dark Knight. Yeah.
That was my first thought.
Or it would be Frank Miller's run on Daredevil. But it would probably be Dark Knight, just because that literally changed my perception of comics.
The problem I have with that, it feels 80s. It feels very much of its time.
But going back and being able to reread that and not remember and just be a fresh thing, it would just literally go,
mm-hmm.
ooh.
Mm-hmm. Right, but I'm wondering, though, if some of it's our nostalgia for the book, where if you're trying to read it modern, mm-hmm. you look at it and you go, yeah. wow, this is really dated.
And yeah.
That'd be my only concern with it. Because, yeah. I mean, I enjoy the book, but yeah. it's... You read it and you go, yeah, that's from the 80s.
Well, the other one, too, that came out the same year blew my mind was Watchmen, too. So there's a second backup.
And Watchmen, I think, is timeless.
Yeah. That literally...
Just take all my answers, you jackass.
I'm like, hey, you know what? Speak up louder.
That'd be nice. Let you go first, yeah. That'll learn me.
Well, since I took all your answers, Dave.
Yeah, I think... The Crisis on Infinite Earths.
It's funny. I read that in issues when it came out, yeah, and I've been meaning to go back and reread it. And I pick it up, and it's like, oh, this is daunting. This mm-hmm. is just, you know, 12 issues and thick.
Dense.
You know, dense. Yeah. And I haven't done it. I actually have two versions of it. I have the paperback and then the deluxe hardcover, which is hilarious because next week, because they were on sale, so I ordered them for myself, was the Crisis Companions. Volumes, I think, 1 through 3, which is all the tie-in issues.
Okay.
Which, sadly, are all the Red Sky tie-in issues. But I'm like, so I got that coming. So do I just sit down and make a mass read and read it all?
The ironic thing would be, I think, to me, would be, it might be all new to me because, you know, I read that when I was, like, freshman or mm-hmm. sophomore in high school, and I'm sure I missed a lot of stuff.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, and a lot of the stuff was over my head as far as DC history.
Yeah, I don't even remember it now. Yeah,
but
it was good.
That's the one that got me into DC.
I remember reading that in issues. I remember Perez ramping up for that,
okay.
you know, during, you know, coming off Teen Titans. And was it Marv Wolfman that wrote that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just that. Their rapport on Teen Titans, I'm like, oh, I know this is going to be good. And his
Tim's leaving?
Sure. Love of drawing many characters on the page showed throughout the entire run.
Yeah.
And I still remember the Supergirl cover and the Flash cover.
Yeah, when people started dying, like, what was it, Earth, the Crime Syndicate, like on page 3 or something.
Yeah.
There was the first Earth to go. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Oh, you're making me work.
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
Yeah. That one, I think, would stand the test of time a little bit better than Dark Knight, because I don't think that kind of just fits into superhero lore.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't get me wrong. It's not that I think Dark Knight's a bad answer. It's just, if the first time you read it is in 2020, I don't know that it holds. Now, for us, it might, because, again, we're of that generation. But if I'm an 18 or a 20 year old or a 16 year old picking that up today, I'm like, oh, this makes no sense.
Yeah.
I got nothing else.
Mike just took
Mike
all
overreached.
Your,
yeah.
Mike you took to all greedy. Your answers.
You had to get greedy. Just, I mean, those were just such big books. I mean, Miller was just amazing. And Watchmen, just because it was a murder mystery and it was unfolding, and with the history. I love, one of the things I love, like Peter Straub does this a lot with his books, is they take place in multiple timelines. I still remember, I think Shadowland is actually, the story is in the past, but like the characters meet up again in the present, and then he's reflecting on the story that took place in the past. And then part of that story takes place in the past of that story. So it's, I enjoy those where it's building in the, you know, the prior stuff is building. So that's what I like about Watchmen. It has all those
Burns run on Fantastic Four blew me away.
Yeah.
That brought me back to Kirby-esque fun.
I mean, that just, all the Burns stuff happened. Because, like, we just got, like, a taste of the X-Men. Like, barely his X-Men. But then all of a sudden he was doing Fantastic Four. Then you got Alpha Flight, and well, he was doing something else along with Fantastic Four.
She-Hulk?
Yeah, but when he was doing Fantastic Four, he was doing another book.
He did West Coast Avengers.
Yeah, he did that for a while too.
It was just like, and I was just enthralled with his art. I still have the art of the John Byrne book. Oh. It's here somewhere.
It's over.
Pat keeps finding it. I'm like, no, that's mine.
Stop putting it on the shelf.
Well, it's just kind of in the back, and he'll grab a box.
Into the negative zone.
Oh yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, it would have to be something old and I haven't revisited, but yeah, so, I mean, I've read Dark Knight recently. I've read Watchmen recently for book club, although I don't think I finished Watchmen. I waited way too long to try to read that. You can't read that the weekend before.
No, that's a little daunting.
Yeah.
It takes a lot out of you.
It does.
Yeah. Not unless you're willing to just, I'm committed to this. I'm going to read this book and nothing else this weekend. Yeah.
So I had an idea, and Mr. Ludwig, I've been wanting to talk about some older books that were important to me because my timeline of reading and collecting, well, more reading, started before most of my customers, probably about 10 years difference. And it all started with DC Presents 26. I know I've told this before, but it came in a collection, and I was giddy about that book being in the collection. I showed it to Adam and Tim, and they both looked at me like, what? Because it's got Green Lantern fighting Superman on the cover, and why is this important? And I'm like, you don't know why this book is important? And no. No, because it was first appearance of New Teen Titans. It was a 16-page insert in that issue. And it's like, okay, I knew that. There's so much stuff that affected me or that I know that these people don't. It would be fun to talk about that kind of stuff. So I've been thinking about doing that for years. That was like 3 years ago that collection came in. And just thinking about, you know, doing a little research and typing it up, and it just doesn't happen.
That sounds way more ambitious than
it does. Yeah, but not a lot, but just, you know, nothing huge and in-depth and interviewing the creators or anything, but just something simple. But there is this one Twitter feed that every week says, here are the books that came out this week.
Yeah.
And he's like, why don't you do something like that? You know, and so I'm like, you know what? That's a good idea. That's similar to what I wanted to do. So what I figured, I'd talk about things, books that came out, and I totally botched this first one, but that were important to me and things that I bought new, so that were kind of cool and memorable. So I decided to look and see what came out. So, of course, I go back. I'm like, oh, let's go back 40 years. Well, of course, I go back to 1981, not 1982, because it was December, and I was thinking 2021, not 2022.
Oops.
Yeah, so I screwed that up. But 41 years ago, two of the most important books to me came out. And I'm like, well, we're gonna stick with this one. Because in January 1981, we had two very important books come out related to what we've talked about before. The Daredevil 168 came out that month. What does that have? Is that an important book, Mike?
There's some girl that came showed up in it.
It just had a new book this week and last week?
Yeah.
Electra. Well, one book's not enough.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was the first appearance of Elektra. So I did not buy
it. Do you have it in your collection?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I do not. And you know what? I did sell some of my Miller Daredevils, so I do need to. I need to go through and see what I'm missing.
That's the only one I'm missing.
Okay. No, I do have one of those. And then the other book that came out, another kind of important book, X-Men 141. Dave, what's that?
Days of Future Past.
That is correct, sir. First part of Days of Future Past. Drawn by?
John Byrne.
John Byrne, who we were just talking about. So I'm like, when I looked and saw what came out, I'm like, well, damn. Because, I mean, the idea would be do what came out this week, but, like, doing some research, I I'm sure there's a way to find it or a place to find it. I was just finding what came out in that
month.
That
cover for the X-Men is so iconic. So many
Yeah, every like indie book that does like a variant eventually
X-Men have even done it too for their covers.
But it has all the wanted posters, Wolverine and Kitty Pryde in front of all the caught, dead. But yeah, those are two pretty darn books coming out that month. So yeah, I'll see if I can do a little more finding what came out each week.
That's going to be a little more.
That's a little, I just haven't found the source for it.
It could just be a monthly thing.
Yeah. So I thought, I meant to talk about it last week, but I had to step away and totally forgot about it. But yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool. Those.
Where did you buy them?
There was.
On a rack. It's been a rack.
Well, these, I did not buy these. I did not buy either of these new. Oh, I got these later at shows. I did not find out about, because it was after 181 came out, and I don't know how long after, when a friend of mine up in Canada, my grandmother's, showed it to me, and I read it, and I'm like, well, that was fantastic. But I don't know who any of these people are. I didn't know who Elektra or Bullseye were.
Yeah.
But, you know, you could tell it was monumental. The art, of course, was fantastic. So, and it's like, oh, well, let's go to the comic book store and see if they have any of the others. And I went, the what store? So my collecting started probably 2 or 3 years after. So, mid-80s.
My collecting.
No, it couldn't have been 3 years because my dad died in 83.
My collecting started in 79. It was at drugstores.
Okay. Yeah. I was getting books and reading and like going to my.
But that required my dad to take me to the same drugstore once a week, and that didn't happen. So there are issues in my collection that I missed occasionally. And so there's some X-Men missing.
So, yeah, I probably started doing shows in 82 because I know my dad was there. So 82, 83. So, yeah, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But I know him showing me that was what got me on Daredevil. So that's our new spot. Okay, that's all I got. Yeah, Bad Idea and Variance were my two subjects to talk about. So, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Please talk to us about Monkey Meat.
Monkey Meat. Perhaps the weirdest, oddest, goofiest comic I've read in a very long time. It starts off with
Monkey Meat.
Monkey Meat in a can. And I'm going, oh, this is wrong. And I'm like, they can't be going this way. And then it divulges into,
well, where else would Monkey Meat come from?
But you shouldn't buy monkey meat in a can. That's why I kept thinking. No.
It was put there by a man.
You serve fresh monkey meat
in a factory. You shouldn't be serving monkey meat ever. That's all I kept thinking. The artwork doesn't work. It's like a Nickelodeon cartoon style. The lettering changes all the time. You can't follow. There's not panels in some of the pages. You can't follow the story. I don't know if they were eating people's souls, monkey souls, or making some kind of chemicals or whatever. It was not good. Sorry, monkey meat people, whoever created that from Image. And like the artwork for the cover looked intriguing. I should have opened it up, but I actually ordered this in advance, and I go, oh, I'm not getting number two. So, yeah, that.
Oh.
But everything else I read last week was really, really good. I'll talk about Bylines in Blood, number one.
I read that.
From Aftershock.
Yeah, I read that.
This is another one I'm annoying because we just filmed for the TV show on Friday, so it was fresh. And this one didn't explain everything that was in the solicit, which I found a little bit annoying. Where the world has changed, there's been a pandemic, and things are very similar to now, and no one trusts the news anymore.
Well, the news
news organizations are gone, and the only people, the truth is done through private investigators.
Yes. There are like no real newspapers out there.
Right.
And this young girl, Sataya, used to work at this newspaper, and she's now a private dick doing...
Lady Dick. That's her code
name. Is that what
name.
They said? Lady
yes,
Dick?
Lady Dick.
Oh, I remember that. Okay.
It's also Mike's code name.
Oh!
Wow. Ayo. That was good. So she's doing her thing, and she gets paid to investigate... from this young girl, the death of her father, who was murdered. And he
Who used to be Lady Dick's employer.
Used to be her employer, and it was like her editor. So the crime scene was botched. He was left for dead in the back alley for like 4 days. The cops finally found him. The cops are on the payroll.
Because the mayor's super corrupt.
And all this other stuff. So she's trying to figure out what's going on. And she gets footage of the scene, but it's kind of weird because he's standing there and all of a sudden blood is shooting on him like he got stabbed.
Yeah.
And then he goes down. So then she encounters the two cops that are corrupt. She goes to the thing and like she said she was retrieving the Bible, which was all BS. She was looking for information on how this guy died. I like the artwork. I like the story. I told Tim to sign me up for a couple more issues to see how it's going. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
We have these truthers people too.
Yes. It is definitely falling a similar vein to what's going on in the world right now.
Yeah.
Which is fine. And it was like kind of quite scary at the same time. But she also has a drinking problem.
Yeah.
I assume she's an alcoholic from what she was saying.
Yeah, I think they did a good job of making her a well-rounded character.
Yeah. I love the art. I like the colors. Everything was very vibrant and everything. And it was really... Aftershock...
Yeah, they do a lot of good work. Yeah.
Monkey Meat, not so much. The Fourth Man, number one.
Read that.
AWA.
Yeah.
This was awesome. If you guys ever seen the movie with Kurt Russell and the other guy, it's called Used Cars.
Mm-hmm.
This reminds me of Used Cars.
Because they're, miles.
Yeah. They're fighting for superiority. And this one guy literally is hiring a hitman to take out the other guy from the car dealership. He's also in ties with some bad people, say. And he runs into them at the dog track, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And...
Well, he was an investigator.
Yeah. Yes, he's an investigator. But the two cops...
Another dick story.
Yeah, the two cops are investigating his death. And mysteriously, as it appears, and they do the backstory in the middle and goes through all that. Mike Diodato's artwork I really liked. Colin didn't like it because he uses faces of actors. And in this one, I really liked it because it was Paul Giamatti Jr. Is that who it is?
Paul Giamatti, yeah.
Paul Giamatti. And who was the other dude?
Hold on. I'm looking up the guy's name because it bothered. I know exactly who it is. So he's the... He was Lance Henriksen's partner in The Terminator, the black guy. And he's been in like 1,001 movies. Yeah. I just can't think of his name.
But this guy was at his house and he just suddenly has to leave in the morning because
Paul Winfield.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Paul Winfield.
Yeah. And he suddenly has to run because he knows they're coming to get him. And they left him for dead, laid him in the back of his vehicle for his wife to find and stuff like that. It's only 4 issues. And it keeps talking about, if you read the backstory about other things, there's going to be 3 more dead people, I think? Or 3 dead people total?
Yeah.
There were 3 that they were investigating, okay. Yeah. Because 3 people showed up. Yeah, because he was the freshest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for me, I was just completely distracted because the main character was Paul Giamatti. And the bad guy was Ed Harris.
But see, that's why I liked it. Because I'm like, okay, you know, it's like just watching a movie, but you're reading it.
Yeah.
Okay. It was
we know who they were going to cast.
Okay.
Yeah. It was cool. I liked it. I liked it a lot. The other one, Not All Robots number 5.
Yeah, I read that.
Which was the end of the series. Well, I shouldn't say the end of the series. Yeah. End of this arc.
Yeah.
This was... the mother of the family is on trial in front of the robot. And basically the robot already says, you're guilty. You know, there's no getting out of this. So how did she escape or go out? She left.
They just put her down like a chute.
They shot her outside the dome.
Outside, yeah, the dome.
And just like kind of left her. And the husband doesn't seem to really care about this at all.
Yeah.
Is just like, oh, whatever, you know, okay. But the two kids and the granny robot.
Grandroid.
Yeah, are going to go find her.
Yeah.
So their mission is to go find her. So they go outside the safe area, the dome. And
can I just say the mm-hmm. next door neighbor?
Oh yeah, what he brings over? Yeah. So the next door neighbor in the previous issue got a lifelike android of this dude's wife, and he says he could have her, and he's like, okay, and he was like, all it was creepy weird.
Yeah, it was creepy.
And he was like, okay, because he has a new partner because his wife's dead, but now he has an android take her place. But so they go outside the dome. And they start searching for the mom, and they encounter this little boy who says he basically can build parts into robots and things like that. So he's collecting parts. So they encounter all kinds of bad people on the outside, and Granny gets blasted. She goes down. So they're getting attacked, and while this is getting, they're getting attacked, the little boy built, what's his name? What's the one robot's name? Peach? Is it Peach, Pat?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I forget the name.
So the robot gets built and kind of like helps him and defends him.
The boy? C-3PO. That was the name.
No. Okay. So they continue on their journey. And this is basically... The one key thing I took away from this issue was the robot that was giving the sentence to the mother was like basically saying that humans are not worth anything anymore. They're worthless.
Yeah.
And it's a very strong political statement that he's making. And this is Mark Russell, right?
Yeah, yes.
Really, really good.
Yeah.
So they find mom and they realize, you know, she's okay. They survived. And they're moving on to the next dome, which I forget where.
Atlanta.
Yeah. Which is that the dome that everyone got suffocated in and died in? That might be the dome.
Where did they start off in?
I can't remember now.
Because, no, the dome that everybody suffocating was Orlando.
Yeah. But, yeah, and then it says end of this story, but yeah. More to come.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to those issues.
Absolutely.
So. But that's all I got for this. I read others, but I'll let people talk.
That's very nice of you, Mike.
Thank you.
Marjorie Finnegan, Temporal Criminal. Did anybody read that?
Not me.
Okay, well, this is the last issue.
How many did it go to?
Eight.
Eight, okay.
Yeah, which is odd for an AWA mm-hmm. book, but it was fine. So Marjorie and her sister are going to attack Satan and his buddy. It's not Satan, but it's Satan. And the twist is...
It's like his buddy Saddam Hussein, but that's a whole other
thing. No.
Okay.
Hey, guy.
South Park movie for people mm-hmm. that aren't aware.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, Satan.
So this guy's idea was basically to implant himself for everybody to think he was God, and then just it would wipe out the universe somehow. Well, it backfired, and Marjorie went back, and then people think she is God, which, like, ruins her ability to be a criminal. Because now everybody knows who she is.
She is a god?
No. Everybody thinks she's God. So, like, okay. In ancient Egypt, it's her on the hieroglyphics. And like, they have, you know, like, paintings from the Renaissance, and it's all pictures of her. Because now...
Through history.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's ruined her ability to be a criminal because everybody knows who she is.
Oh, okay.
Like, people chase her to ask her for miracles and all this other stuff. So she's miserable. So she goes back to her hideout, which is like in... It's not really in time. It's kind of out of time. And her sister's just there screwing with her now. Like, no, I'm not letting you in. You can go deal with this. Because the whole time, her sister was a cop who was trying to stop her. And, you know, she kept getting the upper hand on her sister. So now she's like, oh, okay, well.
Now she can't do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow.
So it was a fun ending.
Who wrote this?
Ennis.
Oh, that was Garth Ennis? Yeah. Oh, okay. Cool.
Detective Comics.
Next on the list.
Okay.
Is this week two or week one?
This was week one.
Okay. Of 12.
Of 12.
Okay.
So the setup is Arkham is now a tower. like a high rise, and everything's, you know, all good, and, you know, people are getting treatment, this, that, and the other thing. And 2 weeks later, of course, there's a disaster, and the bad family is stuck in there. So my original concern was, I don't know that I want 12 weeks in a row of Detective Comics. I don't know that I want to read a 12-story or a 12-part story. But the first issue was actually pretty decent. I'm looking forward to reading this week's issue to kind of see where they're going to go with it. I mean, I like the Bat Family, so that's not the problem. I just don't know how, you know, 12 weeks in a row is going to play out. That might be a bit much.
Is it the same creative team? Or
I believe so. Okay. Wow. It's Peach Momoko is doing the writing. Dan Mora is off the book, though, so I don't remember who drew it.
Mm-hmm. Peach Momoko was writing it?
No, I know who you're talking about. Namioko? I can't say
I don't
name.
Know.
Yeah.
Somebody was writing it. I don't remember. I read it.
Fred.
Yes, Fred. That's right. It's Fred Jones.
I can see how you could confuse those two.
I literally read it at 3:00 in the morning last Saturday because I couldn't sleep. So the fact that I even remembered I read it, pretty damn good to me. There was a backup story too, and I forget what the backup story. It was good. It was. It's a Matthew Rosenberg story, and I forget what it is. It sucks, because I actually really enjoyed it. It's like called House of Gotham or something like that. It bothers me that you're kind of getting two-thirds of a story, and then they're putting in this filler material in the back. It's, you know, just so they can raise the price of the book.
It's $4.99 a book.
Right, yeah. It's kind of cheap. I'd rather
give
me, you know, the other third of the story that I would have normally had. It probably would have been better. And then it would have only been a 9-issue arc. But, all right, that's all I'll talk about. Dave?
Inferno.
Read that. I read 3 and 4. A lot going on there. A
lot going on. Big finale to Jonathan Hickman's run.
So he's off X-Men?
Mm-hmm. He's off Marvel.
I thought he was supposed to be there forever.
So we have Professor Xavier and Magneto go up against Nimrod, their final battle.
And
they're looking for
Optimus Prime, not Optimus Prime.
Omega Sentinel.
Omega Sentinel. There we go.
I was going to say.
I couldn't remember the name. I knew it was an O.
They're trying to find Moira.
Yes.
But Destiny and Mystique have her.
Tricked them. She has a tracker in her arm. So what'd they do? They cut off her arm and left her arm up there.
So I would handle that.
Yep.
And they're ready to kill her. Until Emma Frost tells them she is a mutant. And it's going to do no use killing her.
This will reset the timeline like we saw in Hawks Pox.
So she gives them the worst weapon Forge ever created, which is a gun that turns mutants human.
Is that the worst as in the meanest or worst, like it backfires and hurts you?
Well, yeah, the most, yeah.
The most,
yeah.
Like, you turn them into humans, that's horrible.
Yeah, you... Yeah, you don't mess with the X gene. So they do that. Yeah, they do that, and then
they're gonna kill her because now killing her won't reset the timeline.
But Cypher shows up,
which I thought was really cool. I thought that was really neat.
Because
basically, issue three, or maybe it was issue four. I read them back to back, so I can't distinguish. But one of them had it showing where when they first dropped Cypher off to learn to talk to the island and get everything set up, and it played through everything.
That was three.
Okay, and it set up the fact that he knew everything that was going on, right, because Warlock had basically, because he helped feed the island, he, it was like its nervous system, so they knew everything that was going on.
Yeah.
And so he knew Professor, what Xavier and Magneto were doing the whole time, and he knew about Moira, and he knew everything. So yeah, so he shows up just as they're about to kill her.
He says, don't.
Because don't forget the rule,
right,
kill no humans.
Can't kill her. And then Destiny starts like coming up with all these possibilities of what happens if they kill her and what if they don't kill her.
Right. And then I guess he finally made a decision and that locked in the future.
Yeah.
And then she, you know, she's like, because he was a, this was a, you know, crucial point. So they ended up not killing her.
They let Moira go through the portal. So she keep, that's going to close and never open again. So she get a head start.
Right.
On Mystique and Destiny.
And Xavier and Magneto lose their battle against Nimrod and the Omega Sentinel. And they have to be reborn by Emma.
And that was a callback to like the very first page.
Yeah. Yep.
When, with Emma standing over them, she says, to me, my X-Men. And she tells Professor Xavier Magneto that she told the rest of the Quiet Council all their secrets. So it's going to be a burden shared by everybody on the council now.
Yep. So basically, Moira is no longer a mutant like she wasn't at the beginning. And what we have, Nimrod and Omega Sentinel are still out there.
She says she made a cure, too. She developed a cure.
Okay.
For mutants. And that's another reason, but in one of her lives.
The mutant gene isn't something you're cured of. It's not a disease.
Yeah. That's why they're
self-hating mutants.
That's why they wanted to kill her. But yeah, I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I thought he's, you know, stuck the landing as much as he could.
With all, and now we're getting Immortal X-Men book and
yeah.
Silent X-Men. And I saw today was the last issue of Secret Avengers and Marauders. Although I think Marauders is continuing. It was Gary Duggan's last issue of that.
But we're going to the other X-Men, the other X-Men book, X-Men 6.
I didn't. I realized I hadn't read 5, and then I couldn't find it, and then I gave up. So I didn't read it yet. But it's Captain Krakoa.
Yeah, it introduces Captain Krakoa.
He's a mutant.
Well, I'll get there. I'm gonna give that. I'll give that away. Then you know they show him in you know first pages. Captain Krakoa. He rescues like this kitten from a tree in New York City. And then you see Cyclops before the Quiet Council says, you guys, you went over my head and putting Captain Krakoa on the team, and I don't want him here. So then the rest, then it gets into the story of Sunfire. Sunfire, they told Sunfire to go to Mars. This Phalon guy who was introduced in the first issue, he's this millionaire who wants to go to Mars. And
Jeff Bezos?
Claim it. Yeah, exactly. It is. Exactly. It's who it is.
Oh, that's right. He was all pissed off that the mutants went there. Yeah, yeah. I remember
so
that.
So he ends up landing on Phobos, the moon, and he claims that for Earth.
I'm sure that's going to go over well.
And it didn't go over well. The mutants of Arrakis got wind of this, and one of them, Votran or something?
Conversation about, and Mars has a moon. Yeah, it actually has two of them.
And one of the Votran, or not Voltron, somebody, one of the mutants
they went to the planet from Arrakis
goes to the moon to face off against Phalong, and he has these like energy powers, and he totally disintegrates the mutant, you know, leaving only his arms and legs, and Sunfire is, you know, taken aback by this. Then we get back to Captain Krakoa, and there's something weird's going on because they show at the treehouse in New York City, Captain Krakoa's there, and there's a vigil for Cyclops.
Like he's dead?
Like he's dead. And then Captain Krakoa goes in the treehouse, and spoiler, it's Cyclops.
Not dead.
Cyclops is Captain Krakoa.
Oh my god.
So he goes down to the bowels of the treehouse, and he calls Ben Urich at the Daily Bugle, who's investigating the resurrection mm-hmm. process. And he says, Cyclops says, how's that Pulitzer-worthy story coming? And Ben says, I'm not working on any story, and I've never met Cyclops. So something weird's going on that we'll get the backstory on.
Okay.
Captain Krakoa. All right.
But it was interesting. Oh, here's
look at that. You got Rex breathing heavy over there. That's how exciting it is.
Okay, here's a book. This one wasn't on my radar, but I walked in last week, and Tim told me, Dave, here's a book you're going to like. It's right up your alley. So I said, okay, I'll buy it. I'll buy it, sight unseen. So I bought it and read it. It's called No Holds Barred, B-A-R-D.
Like Shakespeare?
And basically, it's if Shakespeare was Batman.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be a retelling of the Hulk Hogan wrestling movie, but in Shakespearean.
No. It's Shakespeare and his page, William Page. They're the Bard and Page.
Okay.
Like Batman and Robin. And they get, the whole thing's written in verse, like Shakespeare's pedantic verse. Which I'm sure doesn't appeal to everybody. It took me time to get into it. But they get, it's a done in one story. The story is Queen Elizabeth has been kidnapped. Shakespeare gets word that Queen Elizabeth has been kidnapped. So him and Paige, they go down the Bard poles, which I'm calling it that, and get into the Bardmobile, which is
horse-drawn carriage?
Yes.
Okay, makes sense.
Thank you. And so they're off to investigate. And they run into characters. There's Dogberry. He's the constable from, the Shakespeare plays. And Rosencrantz and Guildenstern at one point. And they finally go to the Globe Theater. They go to the Globe Theater, and they find the culprit who kidnapped the queen. And it's Sir Francis Bacon, who some people attribute to writing Shakespeare's plays. That whole controversy. It's like 4 or 5 issues. I don't know, I guess they'll all be done in one story. But it was interesting.
Okay, from Behemoth, yes.
Yeah, Behemoth. But it took, like I said, it took some time to get into the verse. I mean, it must have taken a lot of concentration to write the word balloon so everything rhymed and was in the verse like it was. But it was really interesting. One Star Squadron. I'll bring that around since nobody brought it up yet.
That was awesome. It focused on Minuteman, who wants to be a superhero like nobody else.
Yeah, and he's broke and he needs money to go get
45 second man
Miraclo pills.
And he needs his pills. Well, who does he go to?
Teabag,
the drug pusher on the corner.
Yeah.
Who sells him off-brand pills.
Yeah, off-brand.
So he was doing a birthday party.
Yeah.
And he's showing the kids and he flies and he lifts the car up and
but
says...
But the great part is, the premise is you have the 1 minute timer because he has powers for 1 minute. And then, towards getting close to 45, he gives the kids hammers to throw at him. And he's getting bludgeoned and in pain and blood. And he's because
it stopped working at 45 seconds.
Clearly, he's lost his powers.
And then at the end, the dad comes out because he's already pissed. that this is the hero he got when he paid for it. And he comes out to say that, you know, he called the company and sees all the kids with him down on the ground beating on him.
Beating him with hammers.
You have to remember this is Mark Russell.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you have the little subplot is...
Plastic Man and...
Well, you had... Oh, she needed two heroes to go along with the guy for a meeting, and he, it turns out it was with Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
And they just needed two to be bodyguards, and it was so it ended up being Plastic Man and...
Firehawk.
And some other ones wanted to go. Yeah. And so she's kind of playing up, if I was in charge, I would have picked you guys. Sorry. Yeah. And but it's like staging a coup.
But they, Lex Luthor had two bad guys in his...
Who have they just can log into a hench.com app to get their jobs.
And their benefits and the pay are better, and it makes the other two go,
One of them was Sportsmaster, but I didn't recognize the
other
one.
I don't know. But I'm sitting there going, are you got to be kidding me?
Yeah.
And then they go back, and they Red Tornado is just not having a good day. And... Is it Power Girl that turns on
him? Power Girl.
Power Girl is going for a power move.
They didn't bring up the guy from the first issue. He wasn't in it at all.
No,
wasn't. But yeah, that was.
He's the.
And then Minuteman goes back to confront the drug dealer. It's like what the drug dealer didn't give you.
This is what this is the best part. This is what he traded him. His movie DVD.
And because there was a Minuteman movie. Okay. Then he goes to a Comic-Con.
Metropolis Comic-Con,
Yeah, and Mark Russell's sitting there, and Steve Lieber's in the back with the pizza, the artist. And he sees Mark Russell has his plate of food.
Where'd you get that? Oh, the VIP lounge.
So he goes to the VIP lounge, Minuteman. And he's getting this plate of food. Mm-hmm. Guy comes up like, oh, sorry, you're not a VIP. You can't be here. You need to leave. And he's like, what? And then he's being dragged out. The actor who played him in the movie... was in the VIP lounge, and he's yelling to him, and the actor just goes, oh, I must just be a fan. And then he gets kicked out and is never allowed to come back.
But somewhere when he's getting kicked out, somebody said, oh, yeah, we had a writer and artist sneak into the VIP, which made me assume it was Russell. Mark Russell. Yeah. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, so he wrote himself in, which was very funny.
It's twisted. It's hilarious. It's if you like Mark Russell, it's very, very fun.
I know. I read some reviews online, and somebody gave it like 3 or 4 stars.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Like, you did not get this.
You're just like, you're not getting what he's doing.
Yeah.
The artwork's great too. That's the other thing too.
Steve Lieber's great.
But they suggested, well, maybe, you know, Minuteman's not made out for being out in the field. Maybe he can have an office job. Yeah. And he's like, no.
Work the phones like, was it G.I. Robot or whatever?
Yeah, G.I. Robot, Heckler, and the Heckler. And
how many issues is this supposed to be? Is it 6?
Something like
I think it's 6.
I thought it was 12.
But is it 12? I hope it's 12. But if it's 6, I'll take 6. But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's all I got.
Hang on, got an angry sleeping dog baring her teeth here. What's up with that, Mar? Okay, I had a couple more. One I'm kind of surprised nobody talked about. Batman.
I read Batman.
Batman came out last week.
Yeah.
119 was the second part of the...
Abyss
storyline, where it was Batman Inc., and somebody's been funding them, and it turns out that someone is...
Lex.
Mr. Luthor. And he stepped in when Bruce Wayne could no longer do the job. He stepped in, digging in on Batman the whole time.
Mm-hmm. I like the story about the wine.
Yeah, and then he pours it out on the ground, a $20 million bottle of wine. And then basically threatening Bruce, basically, you know, I'm going to own you.
Does Luthor know who he is?
Does he?
Okay. Yeah, because Luthor was part of Justice League.
Okay. And then Batman, at the end, gets attacked by Abyss, who uses, like, the power of darkness against him, which was weird. Because, like, he could see himself, but he couldn't see anything else. Abyss cuts him.
Now he's just blind.
And now, at the end, he's blind. I did not... I skimmed the backup story, so I can't tell you anything about that. Something about a little girl.
Yeah.
And then the last one I read, which this book is blowing me away, and I feel bad I poo-pooed it. when it was coming out.
Aquaman, Green
Lantern. Was, no.
This is number four.
Oh, crap. I still didn't read that one. I still didn't read three. I'm sorry.
Are you kidding me?
Well, I was focusing on last week.
How can you hold us in suspense like that?
I know.
Yeah. But Dark Knights of Steel, number three. This book is so good. It's just, it's like a perfect Elseworlds. And it's, you know, kind of set like in, you know, Days of Camelot and these different factions. And so at the end of issue two, Supergirl kills Black Lightning's son. Just basically flies him up and, you know, put my son down. That's the idea.
Okay.
So this one, something from outer space has crashed in the forest in this one country's territory, one ruler's territory. Batman goes off to investigate. Supergirl had showed up before, and it was the metal men were all these soldiers in that area, and like the one had gold armor, the other one had, you know, and she decimates them. Batman and Alfred show up and, you know, see all the decimated, you know, all the killed metal men, and, you know, who could have done this. Get there, and it turns out it was kryptonite had landed, and it was affecting Bruce because Bruce is half Kryptonian.
Okay.
I was looking for it.
What?
I couldn't find it.
You couldn't find it.
What's it under?
D for dark. Dark Knights of Steel.
Is it in the Batman section?
No, it's
in
there.
Huh? It's under D.
Under D.
I thought it would be in the Batman
section. No, because it's not really a Batman book. It's actually more of a Superman book. Black Lightning shows up on Amazon Island to talk with the Queen, and they renew their alliance or whatever, which really pisses off Diana, because Diana was Supergirl's girlfriend. So she goes off, and Lois is kind of encouraging her, saying, you know, stop the war. You know, make this not happen. Not realizing that Supergirl is really doing all the things that, you know, has gone off and doing all this stuff. But I guess there's a prophecy, and the first part of the prophecy is something falling from the sky, which just happened. So okay. It's kind of setting everything in progress. So,
and this was what, issue three?
Three of six, I think. Yeah, this was really
and
good.
It's just setting up.
Maybe, yeah. Well, my guess is like issue five will be whatever the battle is, and six okay. will be setting it all up. But Constantine's there. It's Harley is there, and as the court jester. But not, it's not silly, goofy Harley.
Okay.
It's Harley being Harley.
Artwork looks really cool,
too. Oh, the art is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I am so impressed with this book. I am loving this book. So yeah. Oh, crap.
Oh, crap?
I left the invoices on the printer and never grabbed them and never highlighted them. So.
Oh, okay.
I apologize. There are books coming out next week.
Apologize?
I apologize.
There's some Marvel, some
yeah,
DC.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't even look
perhaps
to see
some
what
other
was
stuff.
Coming yet.
Got.
All I know is Lunar had a big sale, and I ordered a lot of stuff for myself. Because really, the only thing I take home anymore are hardcovers. You know, big things, you know.
Yeah.
Nice books to put on the shelf and stuff. So some came in this week. It was the complete Silver Age and the complete Bronze Age Teen Titans.
Hmm.
So it's like the original, complete original run of Teen Titans in two giant volumes. Next week are Authority, Absolute Authority Volume 1 and 2 are coming for me. Just, yeah. You know,
is that the NSMLR ones?
Yeah. Okay. Well, it starts with Ellis.
Oh, it's Ellis.
And then
okay.
to Millar, I think.
Okay.
Or Miller.
Miller, yeah.
But, and just a bunch of stuff that I'm like, what the heck? You know, an Adam Strange Silver Age Omnibus. Okay.
Mm.
You know, for $20, okay, I'll.
The white.
Yeah. Take that off. Take that home. So, yeah, just my invoice was really big. I mean, if somebody wants to run and grab it, I can. I just didn't look. Yeah, it's just sitting on the printer behind the counter. I didn't do the Marvel one, so I do apologize. I never printed that because that's a spreadsheet I have to download into Excel and then edit and print. And I just never... We don't get the actual invoice until Monday. So I just never got to that before Tim got here. I'm sorry. These dogs,
mm-hmm.
they make things hard. There's nothing on the printer?
Wait a minute. This might be something.
Jesus Christ, Mike. Anyway...
But
so how do these companies expect you to actually run a business?
They don't care. That's our biggest problem. We're having to do so much more work.
Is this it?
Yeah. Thank you, sir. I should have said, you know what it looks like.
I know what it looks like.
It wasn't on the printer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's probably last week's anyway.
No, this is the new one. Okay. It's a lot of work. The formats don't all work. You got to download. It's a lot of hoops.
But if you can't manage your inventory, that's going to prevent you from buying inventory, which means they're not selling.
Yucky. But, so next week from, everybody else, we'll start with Diamond, is we have a new Angel book coming from Boom. Animal Castle 2, I know James was excited. Second Prince of Number 1 just showed up, so I have one of those to read. He was very excited about it. Aerosmith Number 1, this is the new from Kurt Busiek.
That hasn't been out in like 15
years. Yeah, it's now
years.
Over, it's at Image. We have Bolero, this new one from Image. I vaguely remember what it's about, but I don't remember. Because we just did the TV show. Wow, that's bad. I can't remember that. Cloaked Number 2. This is that Dark Horse one that had the really weird art. I got allocated down to one copy of Number 1. Well, that's not a good look. We have a new Cursed Pirate Girl. It's coming out. I know people like that. Edgar Allan Poe Snifter of Death, Dave. Number 4. Heathens Number 3. I know somebody was reading that one.
Not I.
That it's an Aftershock book. Yeah, somebody was liking Heathens. Okay.
Might have been Spencer.
Could have been Spencer. I thought somebody else was reading that. Okay. Sorry. Oh, Purgatory with cover A through P. Red Sonja only goes to M. Boy, they're slacking. Regarding the matter of Oswald's body, I know other people are reading that one. Seven Secrets is back, number 13.
Nice.
Time Before Time, somebody was reading that. That's it. Wow. Dynamite kind of. They only came out with two this week, two next week. Craziness. Okay.
Well, they print two books, but they print 30 copies of each, or 30 covers of each.
But like one, like NYX Dicks, I guess you call it. I had a guy order every cover. He wanted every cover. And it's like, great.
Okay.
I can do that. So next week for me, Absolute Authority 1 and 2, Absolute Batman and Robin the Boy Wonder, Absolute Batman Hush, that's actually for the shelf. Absolute Green Lantern, Green Arrow, Adam Strange, Silver Age, those are all for me. Black Orchid, because I've never read it. I'll buy it at big discount. What the heck? Yeah, Christ on Infinite Earth's Companions, Volume 1 and 2 and 3. What the heck? You only live once. DC First Issue Special. I love that. Big hardcover of that. Wow. I'm up for that. Dial H for Hero. Remember that recent one that was Steve Orlando did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had that on sale, I guess they're clearancing them out.
I love that.
I'm like, yeah, I'll do an extra cut. Doom Patrol Bronze Age Omnibus. I'll take that. Ex Machina, the complete series in one omnibus.
Oh, wow. You got that in omnibus.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Flintstones, Freedom Fighters. A couple volumes of
Flintstones
Hellboy.
Freedom Fighters?
No, Flintstones. A volume of Flintstones.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And then Freedom Fighters.
Mark Russell was
House of Mystery, Bronze Age Omnibus. All the great 70s stuff. iZombie Omnibus. I never read it. Wow. Legion of Superheroes, Silver Age. Mr. Miracle by Englehart and Gerber. Multiversity. These are all things for me. You can't have any of these. Sorry. Oh, Omega Men. I guess that's going away. So I ordered a couple extra of that one. Watchman Companion. I don't know what that is, but okay. But now here's the books that are for sale. Sorry, that's all the stuff for me. Let's see. Oh no, we only got Aquaman the Becoming, not Aquaman and Green Arrow. Sorry.
Oh man.
Batman the Knight. This is the Chip Zdarsky Batman book. Boy, did I really only order that many? That's weird. Something's wrong. I have to look at that. Only ordered 13 and one copy of the variant. That doesn't seem right.
That does seem low.
That seems low.
Is it like an $8 book or something?
No. Mm-mm. Yeah, I'm going to have to investigate that one. Something's up there.
Two holds.
Detective. Sorry. That's what I get for not preparing.
People who listen to this podcast are used to that.
Yeah, comment. Nightwing, the next issue of Nightwing. No, let's see, Robin's number three. That's about it. Yeah, nothing too exciting. Suicide Squad, King Shark, Supergirl 7, Wonder Woman 783, and Wonder Woman Evolution 3, but neither of those are selling well. That is weird. I'm going to have to look into that.
It does seem odd.
That's a weird number.
It's a Batman book, and it's Chip Zdarsky.
Yeah, but I might have only had like three holds.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm
yeah.
like, you know what? I'm ordering holds plus 10. You know, how many Batman books do we need? But only ordering one copy of the variant. That's really weird. Because I have one guy that gets every variant, every DC variant. So I would have ordered more than one. So, which is weird. But like this week, I had a FUBAR where I only ordered three copies of. The DC X-Men Legends. I don't know, order 20, so I don't know what happened there or something. But again, that's one problem where is when you're doing one order...
It's easier to catch that.
Right, now I'm doing DC, I'm having to do late on Sunday, I'm doing the other ones on Monday, it's just, you know, and doing two different orders on Monday, and, you know... Yeah. Just, you know, doing things three times is so much fun. But... Wow, these guys are... Why are you snarling, Marley? You are angry. Angry eyes. Okay. So, that's what we got. We got book club coming up the end of the last Friday of the month. We're going to try to do Bog Bodies. Hopefully, everything's copacetic. Yeah, we're doing Superman month. And I think that's about it. Website's PittsburghComics.com. Facebook's Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. Pat, take us home.
That's podcast.
Talk at you later. See ya.